Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Evan Carolla, Dr. Drew.
I'm not modeling anymore for the two of you.
Loveline.
Yep, it is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Fax number
310-854-4455.
There you go. Got the crap beat out of me at the Raiders mini camp today. And missing some pride and a little sleep. So
what did you do?
Muddle through the show. I got suited up and banged around with the big boys.
Full pants?
Oh yeah.
Everything.
Oh yeah.
How's the equipment the Raiders wear compared to what you wore in North Hollywood?
Oh my God. semen leaked from me as I walked in the equipment room. Face mask, helmet, shoulder pads, jerseys, pants as far as the eye could see. Yeah. And no nickel and dime crap like get your own sweatbands or anything. Shoes, socks, everything. All the accoutrements, elbow pads and mouthpieces. Huge. I was in Oakland at the Raiders facility today, and it was wow. What a for a guy who always dreamt of playing football and always dreamt of seeing a professional outfit and everything like that. It was a dream come true.
What'd you do?
Too bad I'm so jaded and bitter.
What'd you do? Whatever you do.
I just ran some drills and caught some passes from the football shooting machine and, hit the sled and all that good stuff.
No contact with other guys?
In a gay, a little bit.
Afterwards.
I feel like an idiot now. Oh, you saying on the field?
On the field, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No. Not on the field. No. Definitely not on the field. Smack me in the ass and then bang me in the ass.
Oh my God.
I have to start editing myself. Matthew Lillard is our guest tonight. You know him from all the Scream movies, SLC Punk, and She's All That, and a bunch of other things. Loves Labor... Wait, I didn't want to pluralize the labor. Loves Labor Lost is the newest film that's coming out from Miramax, right? When is that out, Matthew?
Came out as I die.
Yeah.
Came out Friday.
Oh, okay. Good
time. Thank you very much.
Two theaters.
So you in Ohio, don't even worry about it.
Well, when is it going to hit a wider release?
As soon as the two theaters sell out for months on end.
I see. And who else is in this?
Kenneth Branagh, director, and was in the lead, and Alicia Silverstone, Adrian Lester, Alessandro Rivera.
Oh, yes, the musical, yes. I saw something on Alicia and her singing and all. Are you singing it?
I'm singing Fool.
And are you good?
No. Not actually. I'm a horrible singer.
I think it's put some old voice over you guys.
Yeah, well, I sing good in the big chorus numbers. 100 people behind me.
Had you done any singing before this?
Well, there's that whole theory as an actor to be the triple threat, to sing, to dance, to act when you're going through acting school. So I dabbled. I was never a singer, though. He never asked me either.
Dummy. Oh, really?
Brana, we sat in a room for hours on end auditioning and talking Shakespeare and blah, blah, blah. And he never asked me if I could sing. But I would have lied.
You have some classical training, right? I mean,
sure. The Shakespeare and stuff. I can dance like a mofo.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
So this
got moves.
This is a Shakespearean play, then.
Yeah, Shakespearean play adapted as a 1930s musical.
And did Kenneth write the thing?
Well,
I mean,
but he adapted it. Yeah.
That guy's smart.
He's unbelievable. And he wrote his own biography when he was, 25?
Yeah.
He had a lifetime of career by the time he was 25.
Are you allowed to write your own biography?
Well,
autobiography.
Yeah, I know, but it just sounds like something that aging actresses are supposed to do after they've slept with a bunch of people you may have heard of.
At 25, why?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, everyone kind of rained down on him. The audacity of this guy, this kid right out of RADA.
Well, let's see. Mine would read, went to North Hollywood High, cleaned carpet. I'm now working as a construction laborer.
Began masturbating.
I'd do like 6 chapters on that. The sun, I finally saw the sunrise instead one day. The birds chirped, and I knew what everyone was singing about in those love songs. All right.
But he's a genius.
Yeah.
I mean, he really is. He is just awesome.
Yeah, he
could be around. I mean, he's unbelievable.
He seems like he has a fairly high IQ. And how's Alicia Silverstone?
She's great.
I haven't said her name in a while. She looks good, right?
Oh, yeah, she's great.
And can she sing?
She can't really sing either.
So no one in the movie actually sings.
Well, Nathan Lane can sing like a lark.
Uh-huh.
Adrian Lester, Alessandro, the lead guy, the guy who plays the prince. I mean, everyone can sing really except for Alicia and I. And Alicia did all right.
Did they give you coaches?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we trained. It was like Shakespearean fame. I mean, we had like 3 weeks of acting class, and you'd pass each other in the halls, and you'd go dance, and then you'd sing, and then all this. You'd do text with Ken. It was really awesome.
And
awesome. Isn't that, what is that, like a 10-year-old word? It's awesome,
are you,
dude.
Not something that's used to describe Shakespeare often, but... listen, I've never read a Shakespeare play, so I can't pass any judgment. Now, this is just in a very limited engagement and release right now, but we're hoping that through shows like this, it'll get spread out to the masses.
Absolutely.
All right.
Call your local Cineplex.
We will hop to the phones. Jasper?
Yeah?
You're 17?
Yeah.
Jasper the guy?
No.
Jasper the girl?
Yeah.
Okay. What's going on there, Jasper?
I've been with my boyfriend now for 7 months, and he hasn't touched me or even tried to, and I think that he might be gay.
Mm-hmm. And how old is he?
He's 18.
I see. Do you guys make out?
No.
You don't kiss?
Nothing.
Maybe you're not boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah, we are. I've known him since the sixth grade, and...
Oh, well, as long as you've known each other. Yeah. Drew, how long have we known each other?
Five, 6 years? Must be boyfriend and boyfriend.
Well, something.
Interesting.
So, you've known him since the sixth grade. All right, so that's a done deal. And, really, have you ever kissed?
No.
Have you ever said, let's see each other exclusively and no one else?
Yes.
Okay.
You have. And do you go out on dates and hold hands?
Well, we go to the movies and stuff, but...
Huh.
Do you hold hands?
No.
Well, I'm really wondering if you guys are a boyfriend and girlfriend.
Did he ask you out? He said, will you be my girlfriend, the whole nine yards?
Yeah.
He did. Hmm. And Jasper, why are you so young-sounding and so confused and so naive at 17?
Because I'm confused about this.
Have you had a boyfriend before?
Yeah.
Are you a virgin?
No.
So, when did you lose your virginity?
When I was about 13.
Mm-hmm. About 13. We may be talking 12.
11, yeah.
More like 12?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happened?
How old was the guy?
19.
13.
Yeah. What's the matter?
Nothing.
Yeah. Was that not a good experience for you?
No, it wasn't.
It
was. Was it rape?
No.
No. Okay. Well, Arlene Francis is going to flip over all the cards now, and we're going to go to a commercial.
Okay.
No. Is there anything you want to tell us, or should we just sort of keep firing off questions and you can say yes or no?
Has he been with someone before?
Well, when we were younger, he was with one other girl. That was it.
He had sex with her?
I have no idea. He doesn't talk to me about anything.
But tell us more about this experience when you were 12. How did that all go down?
Well,
see, my thinking is that was an awful experience, and if you've chosen guys that are
impotent, impotent.
Yeah, now she's going for guys. Right, the guys that are safe, and that's no good either, though, of course.
Okay. Hey, Jasper?
Yeah?
What's wrong with you? Why are you sounding like you're a fifth grader when you're 17? Are you stunted emotionally? Do people say that?
Well, I have had a lot of problems and everything, but...
Yeah. Are you on any medication?
No.
Has anyone ever asked you to be on any?
Yeah.
Okay.
What do they want you to be on?
Well, my stepdad wants me to... be on some kind of medication to make me happy and...
I see. So you're depressed.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be to make you happy. It would make you not miserable.
Right.
Which is different.
That's right. It's where I am.
Yeah.
I'm not miserable. So, Jasper.
Yeah?
We're going to hang up, you know, because you're not really talking, okay? But here's the deal.
You got to ask him.
You got to ask him, and we'll ask him if you want. You want us to talk to him? Yeah. How about we get to the bottom of this right now?
Okay.
All right. We'll put you on hold, and we'll get his phone number, and then we'll give him a buzz. Boy,
well, she can't talk.
Something's
she's having trouble saying
something.
She's having trouble expressing
I'm guessing he's no auctioneer either.
Yeah, but, and we didn't get to what happened to Jasper before 12. Let's set her up for that.
Jasper sounds broken.
Well, it's funny that she didn't want to talk about anything.
No.
No. So, her boyfriend's not the problem.
No, but what Jasper to me sounded like is somebody who had something traumatic happen to them when they were young and they got locked in.
Right.
Something very bad happened to him when they were 11 or 12 or 9.
Yeah.
Something probably like that. And then for the next 10 years, they're 9. You know, they may say 17, but it's 7. All right. We'll try to get Danielle. Try to get his phone number. We'll see if we can get to the bottom of this.
Good.
She's got him. Or she's
do not
him.
Kiss me.
David?
Yeah.
You're 15.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. What's going on?
When I masturbate, I don't know if my sperm came out or not.
You don't know if it comes out?
No.
You crossing your legs?
What?
You crossing your legs?
Hey, are you having an orgasm?
What?
Hold on a second. Hey, Earth to Tardo, and this goes to not only 15-year-old David, but all the people that call this show. And just hang on there, Dave. It's only going to be for like 45, 50 minutes. Here is the deal. We understand that you're in a certain degree of pain. We understand that you're confused, and our heart goes out to you. But don't call this show if you can't form a thought. Understand that we're not calling you. You're calling us. There seems to be some difficulty in that department for a lot of our callers. They call us, and it's as if we'd woken them in the middle of the night and started asking them about their sperm. How's the sperm, Dave? Huh? Who is this? Is it coming out of your penis, yes or no? Sometimes. That's really, it's even more confusing than that. I'm more lucid at 4:30 in the morning when the phone rings than our retards to call this show. And listen, I understand, you know, you have no education, you hate your parents, and you live in a crappy town. Here's all I'm saying. Don't call. Just don't call. Or take a moment, compose yourself, form a question, have a shot of Jolt, then call and be prepared to talk. But I don't want to squeeze you like a goddamn bar rag to get an answer out of you.
Or think for a second, what is it likely the interaction is going to be like when you get in with us?
What are you looking for?
What are we likely to do? What are we likely to do? Well, when we get the call, we're going to ask a bunch of questions. Just be prepared.
Well, you know what we get a ton of? We get a very, like, an absurd sort of a scenario. Like, I do this to my penis, and, you know, genies come out, you know? And then here's how it goes every time. Genies come out of your penis?
Huh?
Huh? Genies come out of your penis? Where? You know, it's like, you said it. It all turns into a bad Green Acres episode.
Then if he goes, it's like, why do you want to know? What were you to ask,
stop
man?
Stop killing me.
Yeah.
Killing you to be friends?
I'm trying to play Nintendo here. You mind? Carlos?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, you're 17.
Yeah.
All right, we're running the camera tonight. What's up, buddy?
All right, I got a problem seeing my dad's girlfriend. And she, I had sex with her.
Yeah?
And I don't know, like, should I tell my dad or...
How old is your dad?
Huh?
How old is your dad?
38.
And how old is this woman?
She's like 28, I think, 21.
Is that a cat in the background?
Oh, yeah.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, that cat's in heat. You better do something to
the
that cat.
The cat's the real problem.
Yeah, take care of the cat instead of the girlfriend.
No, it's not mine. That's not my cat.
We are intent on no mammals having children.
That's right. All right, so listen, how long has this been going on, Carlos?
Oh, this just was once.
One time.
2 months ago, yeah.
Yeah, and are you guys all living together?
No, I only seen her like twice.
Stay away from her. And try to help your dad see who she really is.
Where's your mom?
Oh, she passed out.
Passed out?
Yeah, like 10 years ago.
Passed away?
Yes.
Okay. Well, who knows?
You can have her still. Get her with her.
All right, so what happened to your mother, Carlos?
Oh, I don't know. She had some cancer, I think.
Oh, boy. She must have been all of 24 or 25, right?
Yes.
Why he didn't...
She was 25 years old?
Yeah, about 25, 26.
All right.
That's kind of unusual.
All right, hold on. There's a DC-10 flying through Carlos's living room. Here's the deal. And by the way, here's one thing I've learned from this show. The worst your problem is, the more noise that's going on. And there's a direct correlation. We have people calling with, I hear conductors yelling all aboard, trains going through, there's a machine gun fire, there's helicopters, there's cats screwing in the background.
And then crickets.
Yeah.
I'm dying!
All right, so listen. Carlos, do not have sex with her anymore.
Stay away from her. Stay away from her.
Did you tell your dad?
Yeah, he didn't tell him, and he's
and
not
going to.
And
I do, though? I don't know if you
told
your dad.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
He's been abused. I mean, that's an adult with a minor.
Well 17.
But the point is, he's not in a position to be rendering consent, and...
Okay, listen. Don't say anything to Dad. You're 17. Get out of the house.
She is
here.
A nightmare.
It's got to be a rule, though. You shouldn't hump your dad's girlfriend.
We'll try to find a way to get your dad to see who this woman is.
Right.
It's bad news.
Before you sleep with her, preferably.
Yes. No humping dad's girlfriend.
It's a rule.
Especially if him and mom never get separated.
Especially if he's bigger than you.
Then you're on your mom. All right. John?
Hi.
You're 20. What's up?
Yeah, Adam. Matthew, love you and scream.
All right, Ando. Thank you.
Well, the reason I was giving you a call, Adam and Dr. Drew, is because me and my girlfriend, today we were having intercourse, and my condom slipped off, and it went way deep in her.
Yeah?
I mean, super deep in her.
Good times.
And she went, you know, she came to the bathroom, she urinated, and it came out. You know, it just popped out of nowhere.
Sure. It filled up like one of those balloons at the arcade where you hit with the squirt gun in the clown's mouth. Yeah, it keeps getting bigger.
Yeah, but I didn't come in the condom. You know, I didn't come in the condom.
Right.
And the condom had a lubricant in it, spermicide.
You had not yet ejaculated when you lost the condom.
No.
Did you eventually?
No, not eventually.
No, so you never did.
No, I never did, but the condom slipped up inside her.
I got that part.
Deep inside her.
Right. It, like a young girl trapped in a well.
Yeah, kind of.
Right. Okay. Get the volunteer fire department out there to see what they can do.
Baby Jessica.
That's right. I miss her. All right, so you know what this country needs in lieu of a war is some chick to fall in a well. You know what I mean? There's a few things that we need nationally, I believe, like every some odd years, maybe every 10 or 15 years. A good skirmish abroad always tends to sort of rally the troops stateside, and or somebody falling in a well.
Any child chopped. Elyon.
Elyon is pretty solid, but it, you know, the problem is it's kind of a nationalistic thing. I mean, it's a lot of the Cubans are pissed off, and a lot of the Anglos could give a rat's ass. But when a nice fresh 3-4-year-old white chick falls in a well, that's something we can all get behind. Yeah, let's see if we can do that. True.
Let's talk about John and his condom problem. The question is, should he get the morning after pill?
Well, you know, we would say, because we're not the one who has to go out, get it, and pay for it and all that kind of stuff, go do it. But on the other hand, he didn't have an orgasm.
The risks are slight, but if you want to be perfectly safe, you need that morning after pill.
On the other hand, John sounds like a leaker.
Yeah.
Hey, do you think a lot of guys leak when they're younger? Do they not? Do you know what I'm saying?
I think that's a lifetime
job,
yeah.
Is it? It's a death sentence, that leaking? Yeah. I mean, it's a life sentence?
Yeah, life sentence.
But don't you think a guy is more apt to leak semen when he's excited at 15, 16 than he is at 35?
I don't know that.
Did you look into that?
I'm getting a web under leakage.
Yeah. Well, Matthew, what do you think?
Hey, you know, it doesn't seem like there's a problem. I think the problem is he didn't have an orgasm. That seems like...
Yeah, but you know, that's good. He's not pregnant.
The bothers Matthew, though.
That's a little problematic in my book. No, I mean, it sounds like he had a condom with spermicide on it. He didn't ejaculate.
Right. All right.
Chances are slight that she's going to... I mean, the window of opportunity to actually get pregnant...
Right.
Isn't that great?
I'm with you, but there's still 8% chance that it's
If for me, I'd get emergency contraception and then just take that down essentially zero.
All right. I would like young males to call, not young males, older males to call this show and tell us if there's a difference in penis performance with their own penis between 14, 15, 16, and 28, 29.
In terms of leakage.
In terms of leakage.
But how can you monitor leakage?
Well, you know, really, you know when you're a leaker.
Some guys are serious leakers.
Serious leakers?
Like drainers. Or,
yeah, they'll go right through a pair of
stretch. How can you tell? You can't tell.
No,
oh, yeah, they know.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because it's like, oops.
They have to manage it.
Here's the difference. Like, you go out on a date when you're 15, 16 years old. You park the car. You make out for a little while.
You're leaking.
You know, a little hanky-panky, maybe second base kind of thing. And then you get home that night, and your underpants are a mess.
Right.
Now, at 35, I don't think that happens as much. But it may, you know, that just may be my perception. All right, should we talk to
Jasper? I've never heard from the boyfriend yet.
Yeah, well, hold on. This phone's screwing up. Jasper?
Yeah?
We're trying to call your alleged boyfriend, but it's busy. He doesn't have the call waiting, does he?
I don't think so.
You don't sweat the details, do you, Jasper? Hi, Jasper. Let's get to the real bottom and, I should say, heart of your problem. Who did what to you? What happened? Somebody die?
My grandma did.
No.
No? Was she taking care of you?
Was she raising you?
No, but she was there for me whenever I needed anything.
Where's your biological father?
I have no idea.
What happened with him?
Well, my mom left him when I was like 2.
Why?
Physical abuse.
Okay. So both of you or just your mom?
Just my mom as far as I know.
And did you have a series of other guys that came through after that?
Just a little bit. I think like maybe 2 or 3.
Did any of them mistreat you?
I don't, not that I remember.
What about your stepfather now? Does he treat you nice?
There's nothing that I do that he agrees with.
Yeah.
Agrees with.
Well, listen, we know your stepdad's not a great guy because we know your mom picks a-holes for the most part, although she was good enough to get away from your biological abusive dad. But I would predict that her father, Grandpa, wasn't such a great guy.
No, she told me stories about him.
Oh, yes.
There we go.
So, and what happened? Did he die?
No, he's still alive.
Oh, that's too bad.
Still drinking.
Do you ever see him?
Once in a while, not that often.
Does he drink?
No.
No, he just abused your mom? Just sober abusing her, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, listen, Jasper, there's a lot of confusion in your life. You know, you've had a kind of traumatic upbringing, and so you're going to make some bad decisions, and I'm not sure whether this guy's your boyfriend, and I'm not sure what he's doing, but I'm glad, frankly.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's a bad decision, by the way.
Yeah, stay with him. Hopefully, you know, by the time you're in your 30s, you'll get to first base.
He's not abusive, is he?
No.
No, but I wonder what he is. Anyway, Jasper, why don't you just talk to him, or why don't you try to kiss him next time you see him?
There you go.
Can you do that?
Okay.
And then create some discussion.
Give him a kiss.
Do not kiss me.
Yes, do kiss him. Okay?
All right.
Yeah, that's all right. Guys don't mind that. All right.
See, what do you do when your whole lineage is screwed up? Do you just...
It takes about 100 years to flush that real bad stuff out.
Well, not 100. In my case, it was only like 85, 90 years with the Corollas.
It takes like 4 or 5 generations.
Matthew, I'm so glad you brought that up. I know we're running late for commercial. I just got to go on a quick riff here. So many people call this show, their lineage is screwed up. It really is. I mean, a mom, dad, grandpa's abusive. She hooked up the abusive guy, then abusive stepdad. Everything is a mess. You go back 200 years. It's a big cluster F. Here is the way to rectify that. A, no more lineage for a little while. Don't have kids. Just put a little break in the cycle there. Don't get pregnant at 16. Hold off. Get yourself a little therapy. Get your compass straightened out or your antenna straightened out or whatever example you want to use. Then when you get your own S straightened out, meet a person who's not the person you would have been attracted to when you're effed up, but who's a good person based on you sorting out your old problems, then start a new family with that good person who does not have the effed up lineage. Now there's a little break in the cycle, and even though you're always going to be sort of haunted, hopefully you don't screw your kids up, and that's where it changes.
But the first thing is you have to acknowledge the fact that there's some screwed up things in your family.
Well, you know what?
That's the tough part. The tough part is getting people to acknowledge that the crap that went down in their childhood affects their attraction and how they behave in their interpersonal lives now.
All right. We have to take ourselves a break. Matthew Lillard is here. We'll talk about his new movie. We'll talk to you after this. Yep, it is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Matthew Lillard is our guest tonight. You know him from all the Scream movies and
actually just the first one.
You didn't do two?
Just the first one. I was supposed to do the third one. Interestingly enough.
Yeah, we got killed, but can't you get unkilled or something?
Originally we did talk about doing the third one, and then some issues came up in our great United States called Columbine High School.
Oh.
And they actually socially had the responsibility to change the script.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I got written out.
Sons of bitches.
Got written out? Is that right?
Yeah.
I got wrote out? Written out.
Yeah, you'd be written out. Or you'd be written off. But,
whatever.
You were written
whatever.
Out.
Whatever.
All right. Yeah, Scream 1 then. But he was so memorable that I thought he was in 2 or 3. Although I never saw 3. I just saw 2. I usually drop off eventually when it comes to the sequels. Also, Love's Labor Lost is the new one that is currently out. It is out in the Los Angeles area. Is it New York, too, or just L.A.?
Yeah, L.A., New York.
It just seems like a musical is such a monumental task. I mean, Shakespeare, and then write the music.
It was huge.
Put the Shakespeare prose to music, dance, staging.
He actually took songs from the 30s. So he took Cole Porter songs.
I read that, yeah. And
he took Gershwin. I mean, just a wonderful song.
Irving Berlin.
Wonderful songs.
But it really sounds... Here's what that sounds like to me. Making a movie difficult enough.
Yeah.
Right. A ominous task in itself. Just making a buddy movie for $8 million with no special effects. And then to do this, make it a musical and Shakespearean and all that, it just sounds like... It sounds like... The art of making regular movies has become too simple for you, and you have to, keep going.
Listen, hats off to Kenneth Branagh. I mean, he really tackles something nobody's ever... And he's been crucified in the reviews.
Okay.
It's just, it's too bad. Here's a guy really taking a step on a ledge, and he's really going for it. And he's getting...
Because the only music that has ever sort of been allowed for Shakespeare has been opera.
Sure.
And even then, it's had to be not Shakespeare, just Shakespeare's stories.
Right.
But he takes
a stab. I mean, he's set in the 30s, so he takes the music of the time. You know, it's like the modern adaptations. You look at Romeo and Juliet, Leo's.
But
Romeo
I bet he got killed on the music part. He's not a musician, is he?
No, yeah. No. But he, you know, the guy that did the music, Patrick Doyle, who's like one of the, you know, top 5 composers in movies today. Did all the orchestrations of the music. And
where does he get funding for this? I mean, I know this can't be a cheap undertaking.
No, by no such imagination.
And it doesn't, you know, it just in the initial pitch doesn't sound like a big money maker.
Right. Well, he, you know,
Kenneth, how does that work?
He has a cachet. I mean, he has a worldwide cachet. So if you sell his name, and then you put Alicia Silverstone.
He can do whatever he wants. Though.
Yeah, Natasha McElhone. I mean, you had Nathan
Matthew
Lane,
Lillard.
Timothy Spall.
Here's my question. Does Miramax say, all right, we're going to lose a little bit on this Kenneth Branagh film. I mean, let's face it. It's an expensive film. Right now it's at one theater in L.A. and one in New York. We're not going to make a killing on this, but it's the kind of thing we want in our resume.
Right. And I think that's... I absolutely think that's what it is. I think that they look at getting the business with Ken.
Right.
And there's something to be said about that. And there's also a crapshoot. I mean, you know, Alicia Silverstone, Matthew Lillard, Timothy Spall. I mean, you've got enough names that in case he hits something that is, you know, something no one's ever done before, and it's a niche, and it could be huge. So it's a crapshoot.
Citizen Kane never made any money.
Right, there you go.
I've never heard of that film. And do movies ever really lose money in the big picture anymore with foreign sales and
videos
and cable. I mean, in over 10 years, don't they all sort of eventually make it back?
Here's the thing. I mean, right now there is the entire industry is turned on its head because the amount of money that it takes nowadays to sell a film has taken whatever the budget is. So if you take like a Titanic, which is what, $200 million budget.
Right.
And then you put the P&E on it, which is, you know, the spending to get it out there.
Physical education.
Yeah.
What is P&E? Promotion and...
Promotion and...
Extribution.
Yeah. Whatever it is. If you take that, and worldwide, it becomes a $500 million movie.
Right.
So it takes a while to get back. It takes money. I mean, and that's why less films are being made. Of course, you know, you get something like Mission Impossible 2, and it's making a killing, but they're just making less because it takes more to sell them. So it's the catch-22 right now.
All right. So I don't know what the answer is, but let's all just keep our day jobs. Michelle?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Oh, jeez.
Bad news.
She's got some trauma in her life.
Yes.
What?
There's an 18-wheeler driving down your entry hall.
She's sitting in a speedway.
Sorry. I was getting off the freeway and I had my windows down.
I see. All right, so you're in the car.
Yes.
Okay, that's good. What's going on?
I was just calling because you said you wanted people to call, and my boyfriend is 26 years old and he has leakage.
He does.
He has leakage.
How long have you been with him?
Actually, we've been together a year and a half.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And does it seem like it leaks more or less?
Well, you're the same.
I know. I'm just asking.
More or less?
Or than when you first met him?
Actually, it seems about the same.
Okay, and how does that work, that leakage?
How does it work?
Yes.
Sometimes, we'll just be kissing and he'll leak out a little bit if it's heavy kissing.
Yeah, I wonder if that feels good.
When he's leaking?
Yeah, do you think it feels good to him?
I haven't asked him.
Does he have to have an erection?
Yes, actually he does.
Yeah, otherwise you got a serious problem.
She just drove over to the airport.
Michelle?
Yes?
Where am I? Yeah, where are you calling from?
Actually, I'm driving down San Bernardino Avenue in Redlands by an airport.
Drew, where in the world is...
All right, so your boyfriend's a big leaker, 26, but the question I want to know is if he leaked less or more when he was 15, and I guess we won't find that out tonight.
He's never discussed that.
He's always leaked, because I've asked him about it.
Okay.
When you say it's a major problem, is he, like, having to change before he goes out? Oh, she's gone.
Yeah.
Michelle?
I also have a question.
Wait, did he have to change his pants if you guys make out?
That's a major problem.
No, he actually doesn't. It's not that bad.
What's your question?
My question is, I've actually been with him for about 6 months now, and I'm not seeming to get any looser. It hurts. It, like, hurts me a lot if we try to have sex a second time in the night because he's so large.
Mm. Wow.
And...
Son of
a
bitch, leaking and large. Leaking large.
Kathy, new film.
Yeah.
Leaking large.
This is new Tom Green film.
Baby, baby.
Wow. All right. Drew, what can she do? She's not the lubricant.
Lots of lubricant, yeah. And maybe not the second time. Maybe.
Is he have the condom? Is he wearing a condom?
No, I'm actually on birth control.
I see, okay.
We know each other's sexual history.
All right.
We had each other take tests and stuff.
Do you talk to him about this discomfort?
Yes, and we've tried lubricant, and it doesn't help. It's kind of like I get raw, and it just hurts.
Yeah, why not just limit it to one time?
We have
sore
the next day. I don't know. I'm still sore.
No matter what.
Yeah. Wow. And it's not that I hate women that much. But I'd like to hurt a woman with my penis just once, even if it meant she tripped and hit her in the eye.
Some Bill Maher in his comedy somebody like into wishing he could kill someone with it.
With his penis?
Maybe the one time he did it. Take me away.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to kill anyone with my penis, but I'd like to maim them.
God,
you know what I mean? Like some poor woman, she's confined to a wheelchair. It's like, what happened? He bucked off a horse? Adam's penis.
Oh, I see.
I've heard of that.
Yes.
That's horrible.
Same thing happened to my sister and Ann.
I'm not sure there's any easy answer for Michelle. No specific answer, except that she's got to work with this guy on this problem.
Yeah.
Lubricant.
Well, here's my take on that, ladies. You got to get in a position where you're in control, because if he's setting the... Guys are great. You know, guys... like, I mean, I've been guilty of this, too. I hope Matthew and Drew will be honest enough to cop to this as well. You know,
I can't wait. What's this
you're,
one?
You're having intercourse. You're very excited. It's feeling good. And the chick's like, okay, you know, take it slow. You know, it's been a while or whatever. And you're like, yeah, okay, no problem, babe. Just let me get in. Yeah, okay, I'm in now. All right, yeah, take it slow. Yeah, okay, no problem. It's like, one, two. Yeah, I'm going. Come on, baby. And it's like, well, what happened to take it slow? It's like, I did like a stroke and a half at like medium speed. And now, you know, that seemed like enough.
Can't take sex.
Now I'm going.
I forgot.
I forgot. Well, it is true. I mean, guys cannot be trusted, especially when they're in that situation, to sort of govern themselves. And what a woman should do, if she has a guy whose penis she's having difficulty with, she should get on top of the guy, and she should sort of set the depth and the tempo.
It doesn't matter, though. Even if she is controlling the tempo and depth, you're still going one, two, three out.
Yeah, but at least you're lying there with your ass on the bed and you're not able to really, you know, do any serious damage with that penis of yours. One, two, three out. How dare you? All right, we will take ourselves a little break. Who are we going to talk to when we get back through? You have someone who looks good there? I still want calls from guys, and I want to know about their leaking penises when they leaked at the semen. And I want to know if it leaked more when you're 15 or more now when you're 30. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
that's what we need. All right, we'll take ourselves a little break. Matthew Lillard is here, and we'll be back after this. More Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. He is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Matthew Lillard is our guest tonight. Love's Labor's Lost is the name of his latest project. It's a musical by a guy named Shakespeare.
Do we see the name of the theaters?
Actually, it's expanding this weekend. I've just been notified.
So what are the theaters?
Right now, it's... I couldn't tell you. The Lemley down in Los Angeles.
Right.
And somewhere in New York. But this weekend expands to like 16 major cities or something.
All right. So
we'll be able to see it.
Look for it coming to a theater near you. Kathy.
Yeah.
You're 30. What's up?
Well, actually, I'm like 35.
Okay.
But it just doesn't seem like older people usually call, so.
Okay.
Listen, start by lying. Fantastic.
Well, you know, the thing that's amazing about our calls is, like, I'll say I'm 30, and then I'll get on the air, and then I'll say I'm 35.
Well, I called once before, and I told her I was 35, and she's like, call back another time. And
that's
so
good.
But I saw Salt Lake City Punk. It was a really, really good movie.
Right on,
and
thank you.
Living in Utah, I could relate a lot to
Word.
Some of the stuff that went on.
So, are you a virgin?
I am.
At 35, huh?
Yeah, but the problem is I've had a couple of boyfriends.
Sure.
And they have to work really, really hard for me even to want to go out with them, you know?
Yeah, you're a tough nut.
And I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't ever feel anything sexually at all.
I see.
And I don't think I'm a lesbian, and I don't think I'm, if I had to say anything, I'd say I'm asexual, you know?
Are you having medical problems?
Not really. Just I had an abnormal Pap smear one time, you know, and the doctor said that maybe if I got married and wanted to have sex, I might have to have, you know, like a hymenectomy or something. But
and you're not on any medications?
I take Paxil.
Well, that'll shut down pretty good. How long have you been on that?
But I've only been on that for like about 2 years, and I've always had this problem.
All right, let me take over here, Drew. Do you still have your hymen intact?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I guess.
I thought it schlepped off at a certain point.
No, it usually, yeah.
Don't know what's wrong with me, because I think I don't, it's like a gender identity that I can't.
Oh, listen, you're 35, you're virgin, but you're just going through a phase.
I'm just going through a phase.
Just a phase. I give it another 15, 20 years outside.
I don't know.
Are you religious?
Yeah, I live in Utah, so.
No, you're Mormon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you overweight?
No, I'm bulimic.
Oh, I remember. And how do you look? The guys like you?
I don't know. I don't, because I don't think I give out any kind of signals. You know what I mean? Well, you know, having an eating disorder, of course, I don't think I look good, but, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm horribly ugly or anything.
Now, hold on a second. Let me talk to everybody. Bulimic, are you throwing up when you're bulimic?
Yeah. Or whatever.
Can't you just be eating a ton and be bulimic?
Yeah.
And anorexic. Everyone lumps these things together, and I still don't have a real clear definition. Anorexic means you're not eating.
Not eating.
Not eating.
Right.
And throwing up or
no.
just not eating?
Not eating.
Anorexic, not eating.
Right.
Bulimic.
Binge and purge.
Binge and purge. But it could just be binging.
Binging with some other sort of purging behavior, like, you know, exercise and that kind of thing.
All right. So is she big or is she small?
She says she's not big.
Are you? What size are you?
I'm 5'3" and I weigh about 115.
You pig. And are you?
That helps.
That's good.
Very helpful.
Come on. I kid.
I look a lot younger than I am.
You have no mileage on you. Like a car has never been taken out of the garage.
But, you know.
Still got the plastic on the seat.
One of the things that bulimic and anorexic get is a loss of their secondary sexual characteristics. Mm-hmm. Do you menstruate normally?
Yeah. Well, it's like light, and it's only like a day. I mean.
Huh. Okay. And. So, are you throwing up?
Uh-huh.
You are? Every day?
Usually every day. Some days, I either don't eat or I throw up.
All right.
I wonder if this is some sort of biological manifestation of chronic eating disorder.
Well, let's see.
Well, when I was 10, I was forced to give a blowjob to somebody in a church.
Oof.
And I feel like, spiritually and...
Who was that?
Actually, and I was with a group of kids who broke into a church.
I see.
You know, and it was not a very good situation.
Okay, but still seems like there should be more.
I've given blowjobs. I've given, that's what all I feel like I'm good at doing, because I don't feel anything, and it takes care of their problem, and then they can go on their way.
Okay.
Have you ever had any kind of sexual relations at all? I mean, not just penetration, but like.
Well, she gave them BJs.
Has she ever reciprocated?
Received.
Received.
No. Okay.
I just don't feel anything. I don't want anything.
Okay.
I'm glad when they're done and they can go to sleep early.
Nothing ever happened before that church incident?
Not that I know of.
Where's your dad?
My mom and dad are. I'm still married and together and everything.
All right. Do you love him?
I grew up hating him, kind of, for no good reason. And then I've learned to... I've really changed the way I feel. I'm not trying to change the way
kids don't hate their parents for no good reason.
No good reason. I don't know if that exists.
No, I was just... I thought he was just a little too strict.
All right. Hey, listen, Kathy...
Yeah.
There's not enough hours in the day for this one. You have to get some therapy, please. Can you do that?
It is abnormal.
Get therapy. Forget about the church and all that stuff. Just get some therapy.
I think it could well be a combo of if people get ovarian failure and all sorts of substantial hormonal problems from chronic eating disorders, softening of the bones, from the low estrogen levels, and there's a lot of stuff that goes down here. That needs to be evaluated in the context of low libido and the psychological
problem. Doctor, therapist, and time to come back to the secular world.
And you have to take care of that. You can't just be bulimic for 35 years and not expect that your liver will fail. I mean, she's so candid about it. I'm a bulimic. Well, you know,
yes.
You got to deal with that one.
Yeah, she needs to see a doctor and possibly a psychiatrist and maybe a nurse and Santa, too. Aaron. Caller goes by the name of Aaron, who's called about their leaking penis.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You guys take it personally.
You guys, you kids break my heart each and every night.
We thought we had one here.
I die a little out here each night. I want you to know that. Sonny?
Hi.
Hi. You're 20 years old.
Yeah, okay, right now I'm being currently treating, a yeast infection. And me and my fiancé, we're kind of having a dispute that he thinks men can't get a yeast infection.
Men really, I mean, they basically can't.
They can get a little yeasty.
They can get, sometimes they get a skin infection, and sometimes they can harbor the yeast in their urethra and give it back to you. But those are the uncommon situations.
What if you're uncircumcised?
Can you get a little yeast?
You're more likely
skin there?
You're more likely to get some more yeast. That's, again, the way the yeast skin issue comes in. But it's, again, pretty uncommon.
Yeah, a little yeasty on the peckaroo.
Okay, well, like, okay, if he gets, like, you know, the irritation, you know, like the redness and the itching and the burning.
If he gets that?
Yeah, can it be treated with, like,
Lotrimon, something like that.
Okay, so, like, well, so not the, like, the same kind of things like a woman could be treated with?
Yeah, you could,
She's getting the Lotra or whatever. Why can't he get the Lotra?
He needs a little bit stronger. He needs to be able to penetrate the skin and that.
Well.
It's just floating around the vagina with their thing.
And what's floating around the vagina?
The yeast and the cream.
The yeasty boys.
I see.
Yeah, mixes it.
So he can't spread that cream on his penis?
Yeah, he could try that.
He could spread yogurt on his penis.
Give it a whirl. We'll take a little break. Matthew Lillard is our guest tonight. We'll be back with a little leakage question after this. Big love lines. I'm Adam Carolla. He is Dr. Drew. 1-800-LOVE-191. Matthew Lillard is our guest tonight. Loves Labor's Lost, a new and very interesting movie, which is out in New York and L.A., and will hit a slightly wider release coming this weekend, this Friday. So keep an eye out.
Take care of me, Cole Porter.
Yes. Watch it and learn, everybody.
We were just discussing...
Mystery of life, unless I found you.
Oh, that's me.
Gary.
Oh, dear.
We were just discussing your intimate encounters, or lost labors, loves, with National Baseball figures.
That's right. What do you want me to say, Drew?
Oh, just a shout-out to Luis Gonzalez and see.
Yeah, when we were at the... well, what was it? Almost a year ago now?
Yeah.
We were at the Hollywood Nights, I used to call it that, I think, but the Dodger Celebrity Game, basically. Maybe a little less than a year ago.
Yeah.
Very exciting for me to play in that game because I grew up in North Hollywood and I always followed the Dodgers. And, of course, just getting out on Dodger Stadium.
That must have been great.
And I played baseball in high school and I always loved the baseball. And just taking batting practice and hitting the field kind of thing was something I was very excited about. Unfortunately, the coach of the team that I was on was a prick. And what is that prick's name? Oh,
coach.
Man. He's some big muckety muck over at like ICM. And this guy's a prick. Just like world class. And God, you're lucky I don't remember your name, you little ant. You know who you are. And yes, you see me? Bring it on, you little prick. I'll gladly pound you into nothing. I'll look forward to it. And your son as well, who I heard is getting in on it. Bring it on.
His son was there too?
Somebody told me his son's got some problems because I was calling his dad a prick. I can't remember this guy's name. Anyway, he was the coach. I didn't know who this guy was. I didn't know if he was, like, from the Albuquerque team, or he coached third base, or he was on, you know, Wonder Years. I didn't know who he was, but, oh, was this guy a prick. Anyway, I didn't get in the game because I had the audacity to talk to him before the game and tell him I had some game and I wanted to play, and he decided he was going to take it upon himself to punish me. So about three-quarters into the game, when I realized what was going on, which was me not playing in the game, I told him he could blow me, and then we got into a big hubbub. A little scuttlebutt broke out, and I actually had to go over to the other team.
And hang out
because I couldn't hang out with my own team anymore. But the deal was, is though, it turned out to be a blessing because I went out with the other team, and here comes Luis Gonzalez from the Diamondbacks, who was playing in the game that was immediately following ours with the Dodgers. And this guy's like hitting 350, and he loves Loveline, and he's not only does he love Loveline, he's like a giddy teenager. This guy, he wanted to take pictures and shake hands, and it was great. So, it's nice to, we ought to get him on the show sometime.
Sure.
Just have a guy who's hitting well over 300, big fan of the show. So I give a shout out to Luis Gonzalez of the Diamondbacks. All right, and whoever that prick was who coached our team, he can kiss my hairy ass. Swear to God. You know what? You know what drives me nuts about this town?
Oh, jeez.
There are these guys, and they're so used to having their ass kissed that they don't even know what to do when someone has the temerity to question their authority. You know, this guy's some big wig over at ICM. And listen, I'm just putting the word out right now. I don't care who you are. You can kiss my ass, you prick. Because the people I have to kiss ass don't have any talent. And I have mediocre talent, all right, which is not no talent. It's not worth it. I'd rather go back to construction than kiss prick's ass. All you publicists, all you managers, all you highfalutin guys who sit behind your desk with your Armani suits on, kiss my hairy ass. I don't need any of you, you prick.
Get him.
Thank you. Tim?
What's up, you guys?
You're 20. What's going on with the leakage?
Hey, man. First of all, I just want to say you guys are awesome, man. Go all the way, dude. Never die, dude.
Yeah, right. Much question.
How much weed do you smoke, dude?
Too much.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I can hear it.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, I'm a leaker. But,
why don't you shove a doobie up there so we can soak some of that up? Oh, yeah.
That would do it,
dude.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and then you smoke it, you know, you get a nice semen rush.
There you go.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, yeah, you get pleasure from it.
You get pleasure from leaking.
Sure.
From wet drawers.
Well, dude, I mean, it's semen, right?
Yeah, see, Tim is so high, I just wonder if he just gets an orgasm light and he thinks that's leakage.
Tim, how baked are you right now, buddy?
Dude, I don't know, dude, I'm out there.
Yeah. All right. So your penis leaks.
Yeah, it doesn't leak that much, so it's not like...
I see. But now here's the... Do you have a girlfriend?
Not at the moment.
You're dating your bong right now?
You know it.
Yeah. So here's what I worry about with you, Tim. Because you're a leaker and because you're a hesher, I'm scared you're going to have other little heshers.
Little heshers, huh?
Yeah, because you're leaking penis.
I'm leaking, I'm going to have heshers.
That's right. Write that down so you can see it tomorrow before you have your first bong load.
So I have to remember it.
Make some sense of it. Here's what I mean. Wear a condom when you're with a woman. Would you please, Tim?
I always do.
Yeah,
like the moment your penis is brought out, put a condom on it.
During the ceremonial unveiling of the penis?
Yes, immediately.
It should already have donned the condom.
Absolutely.
NC leaker.
That's right. Steven?
Yo, yo, yo.
All right, you have a leaky penis.
I sure do.
Now, here's my question. You're 30 years old.
That's right.
And here's my question. Did it leak more or less or the same when you were, let's say, in the 10th grade?
Probably the same.
So sure. It has not changed over the years?
No, it doesn't really seem to have changed at all.
All right, so my hypothesis is not true.
Well, what is considered a leaky wiener?
Stuff coming out of your penis before the other stuff comes out.
Like,
the major stuff.
Do most guys have nothing coming out?
Maybe, yes.
No, most guys have a tiny bit, a couple drops.
Well, what I mean is if you looked at your semen as a chain, this would be individual links coming out before the length of chain came out of your penis. Or as a train.
Where's the vomit, Tom?
These would be,
do you have a chain out of your wiener? Does it ring a bell or something? Are you pulling it?
All right. Everyone's a comedian. Thank God no one's funny. All right, so you do leak.
Yeah.
The only male that doesn't leak is Adam.
I do not leak. I have no leakage.
I think I'm a leaky guy.
Tight gasket. Most guys are.
I think I'm a leaky. And I'm sitting here wondering, maybe I'm one of them leaky guys.
Well, here's the question.
Matthew, did you leak more before?
Matthew, did you leak more when you're 15 than you are now at 17 and a half?
I distinctly remember getting some good grub on and being a leaky guy, and now it just doesn't leak like that. But
could it be also that it's like you salivated more when you saw a big T-bone steak after you'd been wandering the desert?
Yeah.
For 5 years,
yeah.
And now you're eating steak three nights a week, and so you're not salivating as much anymore.
Yeah,
you know what
I'm
saying?
I think that is the case.
So it's the level of desperation and arousal.
Well, and newness. I mean, when you're 15, 16, it's like, oh my God, I'm going to grab a boobie here. Hang on, penis. We're going in.
Playboy was the be-all, end-all when you were 15.
Right. Now, here's the question, and I think the answer would be yes to for most men. If you're, let's say, with a woman, and you're erect, and you've been erect for some period of time, and you've been having at it, not necessarily having intercourse, but just, you know, with her, and you took a piece of tissue, like what you'd use to put over Nick if you were shaving, and you put it on the end of your penis, on the end of your urethra, would it stick?
Every time.
And I think the answer would be yes for about 90, maybe 90-something percent of guys.
Yeah.
For me, it'd be no.
Not sticking at all?
Not sticking. I mean, we can try later. And you guys can, you know, I mean,
hey,
knock yourself
out. I'm going to take your word for it.
Man, it's you're a very versatile and talented actor. This could be the role of a lifetime for you.
No, I think I'm a leaky guy.
Okay.
Come to think of it.
All right. That's interesting.
That'll be normal. That hasn't been a problem.
Peter?
Yeah?
You're 15. You've been on hold for 89 minutes. I'm sorry about that. All right. How's your phone holding up there?
All right.
Okay, good. What's your question?
Well, first of all, I want to say that I'm a big fan of the man show.
Thank you.
And I heard that I was moving to Sundays, and I was wondering why that was all about.
Sunday night, because they put us on after South Park on our first season to get some audience, and now that we have some audience, they're moving us to our own night. Sunday night, 10 o'clock, Man Show, new time. All right, Peter, what's your question?
Hey there. Okay. Well, that's where I
are. What is going on in the background there, Peter?
My fan.
Hold on a second. Boy, Drew, your instincts are uncanny. Yeah, I got to tell you, we're sitting here during the commercial. Producer Ann comes in here. Back me up here, Matthew, if I'm lying. And she says, look, line six, been on hold for 75, 80 minutes. This is 10, 15 minutes ago. What are we doing? Are we going to take this call or not? And Drew says, well, there's a reason he's been on hold for 75, 80 minutes. I haven't wanted to take the call. And I'm looking at it and going, well, here's the question. A kid's 15, gets dizzy and blacks out during orgasm, wants to know what the problem is. I'm looking at that, and I'm saying, well, it's probably not our best question, but we've certainly taken worse, and the poor son of a bitch has been on hold literally an hour and a half at this point. I don't know why Drew's been hanging him out so long. I don't read the board. Drew picks the calls. So let's talk to the poor son of a bitch. Then I talk to him for about 3 seconds, and I go, my God, that's why. And it's not like you talked to him, Drew.
No, I know.
It's just you were right. Hour and a half? Not enough. Not enough for Peter. Hey, Peter?
Yeah?
Could you shut whatever it is that's making a tremendous amount of noise? Is that just your phone line?
Are you on an extended phone?
Yeah.
Are you 3,000 yards?
Of course.
Are you long distance away from the port?
No.
Do you have a phone that's not a portable phone?
No.
Are you in an airplane?
All right, listen, Peter, I don't know what kind of masochist you are. I don't know why you would call a radio show and be on hold for 90 goddamn minutes and then sort of provoke the people that are trying to work with you, but it is working, brother.
All right.
One more time, huh? Peter?
Yeah?
All right, here's your chance. This is it, buddy.
Okay, I'm here.
Yes, now start speaking clearly and fast, or that's it. Your 90 minutes will be for naught. What is your question?
I black out sometimes, after I get done, you know?
Yeah, after you have an orgasm.
All right,
Drew, his phone line is so annoying. Yeah, go ahead.
And this is the reason I wanted to deal with this call off the air, because there is so
No, you didn't. You want to hang up on the line.
Because, no, I said, and here's what you tell him, is that there...
Tell him we're not going to talk to him.
Then he needs to see a doctor. There are many, many reasons this can happen. People can have vasovagal reactions, which is just basically slowing down the heart in reaction to these kinds of stimuli. But there can also be abnormalities of the heart structurally and electrically that can be quite serious.
All right.
And they can be
neurologic.
Yeah, it needs to see a doctor.
Will he have to masturbate?
In front of the doctor? Probably.
Most likely.
Yeah, most likely.
Okay, I see.
Really?
No.
You're an actor. Yeah. I didn't know you were so convincing. I was like, oh, wow, that's intense.
Drew's one hell of an actor. So.
Yeah.
Robert?
For a cigar store Indian.
Yeah,
do that one.
He's great. Yeah, he plays a cigar store Indian and a radio show host who acts like he cares. Robert.
Yeah.
You're another one of those guys we've had on hold for 88 minutes and 12 seconds, so we got a bad feeling about. So let's just get to this one. You're 16. What is going on?
Okay. Sorry. That's my dryer.
your what?
My dryer.
Okay. Can you close your dryer? Can you stop it for a moment?
Yeah.
It's one after the other.
It's one of those nights. If you just listen to my thing, all of my directions. Oh,
he's got
how
the force.
Dare you. He does have the force. Listen, all you potheads, all you freaks and brain-dead retards who call this goddamn show night after night. This is a national radio show. If you have one phone in your house that's the good phone, that's the phone you'd want to be on to call this show. If there's a room in your house that does not have a transformer going off in the background, that there's no power lines next to, there's no two-stroke Briggs & Stratton lawnmower-type engines being fired up, that's what we're looking for. Not dryers and fans and trucks. It's a radio show, everybody. Please, just extend that courtesy to us, please. And if the TV's on, turn it down just for the time that you're on our show.
Yeah, this is the kind
of
we're having.
And if the dryer is going kung, 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 kung in the background, walk over and shut it.
Or step out of the room.
Or step to the next room. Although I'm sure there's a dryer in every goddamn room at this house.
If you remember, we had our one caller who called from the car with the windows open, and she made a move. It's a drive to the side by the airport.
Yeah, she pulled over by the airport. All right. Robert, have you found your quiet place?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. Now, you have a problem. That is, your stepdad is trying to take your brothers away from your mom.
Yeah.
How many brothers do you have?
I have three brothers, 2, 4, and 5, and then I have a 15-year-old sister.
And these are step siblings?
No, my little brothers are half-brothers, and my stepsister is my biological sister.
But your stepsister's your
biological sister, excuse me.
But your half-brothers are from your stepdad.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
And what is up with your mom?
Nothing. She has no problems.
But why would your dad be so interested in taking them away from her?
Because she helps a lot of my family members out during while he's at work, and since my sister and I are out of school, we babysit for her, and he trips out about it.
He thinks an adult ought to be there.
No, he looks for excuses to fight with her.
Robert, he thinks an adult ought to be there taking care of these kids.
I guess so.
Okay, is that such an unreasonable position to take?
No.
Okay.
Do you have the kids in the dryer, Robert?
No.
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 What if they're wet? You wouldn't put them in a dryer, would you?
No.
Okay. This is a true question.
So a 15-year-old and a 16-year-old is taking care of three kids under 5.
Yeah.
I'm tripped out about that.
Now, listen. Listen. This is white trash. Come on. Are you kidding? This is the best case scenario. Yeah. Robert.
Yeah.
Where are you living?
In Portland.
Wow. It's moving all over the country. And what does your stepdad do for a living?
He used to work for a paving company.
I see. Now, what's he do?
Nothing.
Where's he going all day?
Well, he just recently quit.
Why didn't he pitch into the child care?
All right.
I don't know.
All right. Hey, is he breaking up with your mom?
Yeah, I guess.
All right.
My mom's been trying to get away.
All right. Listen, can we have your mother sterilized first and foremost? She cannot have any more kids. This breaks my heart. The thing that really gets me about this show is the kids and then me having to come in here and do it. Those are the two things that disturb me most about the show. So it's actually, one of them is just the show itself, I guess. But the idea that there's a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old, it's like, how many, is 5 kids, isn't that enough?
Well, you know what's interesting?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, at what point do we start holding these people responsible for what they're doing? And looking at them as what they are, which is enemies of the state.
I wonder if there's a bigger force at work here, which is how we look at our priorities as a society. I was talking to an infectious disease friend of mine this afternoon who was saying how many limited resources there are for treating these villages in Africa where basically 68% of all the adults have HIV, and there are all these kids in orphanages, and they're spending, they're trying to get all this money to take care of these basically hopeless HIV cases, yet no money for the orphanages.
The kids, right.
You know, why aren't we really putting our focus and our resources, why aren't we really putting that into where it counts?
Right.
Which is reproduction.
Which is bringing the next generation in a real healthy way.
Yeah.
Isn't that the end?
Like not having kids at 14.
Not.
Right.
Or
you listen to the show, and the more you listen to it, the more you realize it is families like this that have way too many kids for the adults to properly raise that end up having problem after problem after problem. Oh.
Well, and the problem, too, is what advice do you give to poor Robert? You know,
yeah.
I mean, you got a stepdad who's out of work. You have a family that's breaking up. You have five kids. You know, what do you say to the guy?
Right.
I mean, you know, the only thing you can say to him is
focus on your study.
Go to school. Stay in school.
Yeah. Right.
Set up a cottage.
Set goals.
Set goals. Go off to college and just don't get yourself into the same mire.
And even then, we can't even say that thing because we're worried about the other three kids that are being left behind.
Because he could be the best. He could be the best alternative.
He didn't sound too bad. Yeah, I don't have any advice for Robert. I don't know what that advice is. I can tell him that his stepdad will not be able to take away the kids unless mom is in pretty bad shape. Alcohol, drugs, whatever. I mean, criminal history. The courts will not let a father take kids away from their mother unless there's some serious history there. So Robert shouldn't worry about that. But please, everyone, stop humping, for Christ's sake. It's driving me nuts. And yes, what about, where's Darwin in all this? I mean, listen, if there's some village in Africa and everyone's just banging the bejesus out of everyone and everyone's having sex with infected people and no one's putting on condoms and, you know, everyone's having kids that they can't take care of, at what point do we just go, fine, implode? Just, you know, disintegrate over there. What kind of favor are we doing ourselves as a world trying to keep everyone alive who's really sort of screwing up the world? We're taking people that don't have a lot of sense. I mean, if you really think about it, and this whole notion that every life is precious and everyone can be president and everyone could have the cure for AIDS and every child, nonsense. Listen, this world turns over, man. It turns over just like everything, just like your skin does. Bunch falls off, bunch of new stuff comes in. Well, I don't mourn the dead skin cells that fell off my forearm from last week. That's life. That's the world. If you die, you go back into the ground and something new comes. And if you're trying to keep a bunch of people alive who really don't need to be alive, then you're going to screw up the balance. That's what I say. All right. I have a personal relationship with Jesus. And I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's so personal, he's asked me to stop talking about it on the radio. I mean, it's that personal. So, what have we learned? No more foreign aid, and we'll take a break. Yeah. It's Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Matthew Lillard is our guest tonight. Love's Labor's Lost is the name of his latest joint. Kenneth Branagh is in this, and so is a bunch of other people who can sing, but not including Matthew. But it's going to come to a theater. It'll be in a wider release coming up this Friday. It's in New York and L.A. now, so you can look at that and get a little culture. I want to thank Diamond Limo for bringing out Matthew. Everything was in order?
Fantastic.
All right. You ever go to the limos, though? They don't let you use the phone? I always find that a little bit of a bummer. Then I got all limos and town cars, they have that phone perched up on top of the back deck where the speakers are. And you ever go for that thing and the driver goes, hey, no. They didn't pay for that, bucko. You're like, yeah, I just want to call you and tell you to shut the F up. All right, let me tell you else what drives me nuts about the limos, and then we'll get right back to the phone. I have luckily have had the opportunity to be in a couple of limos over the last few years, and I love to listen to a stereo in the back of the limo, but I've never been in a limo that has a knob, volume, or on-off type switch.
Or knob tuner.
For the stereo. Yeah. And all limo stereos are mounted in the same place. There's a little alcove on the ceiling, the roof. Yeah, in the headliner up there. It's a little, it jets in a little, and they're all mounted in the same place, right before the back seat, right up above. But it's always dark. It's a black ceiling, black velvet or whatever, and it's black up there, and you can never turn the thing on. So
there's no power.
Here's how it goes. Yes, turn that on. Okay. I start pushing buttons randomly. I get nothing. Eventually, because they're now the ones with the faceplate.
The faceplate.
Yes, I hit the ejecto button, and the thing lands on my daiquiri, and I spill it on my lap. Then I get the thing back on. I try to stick it on upside down. It's pitch black. You have that mood lighting, that rope lighting, that purple rope lighting, but that's not good for working on electronics. Finally, now I snap the thing back on. Now, keep pushing buttons, hit the ejecto button one more time, put it back on again. Now I hit the power button, now it's on, and it's super loud.
And it's Spanish.
And it's Spanish, and it's some kind of cockfight coming from Ecuador. And it's louder than hell. And because there's no knob, you have no idea where the volume is. Again, just a whole series of buttons. So you hit and push, and now you're frantically pushing because it's really loud, and again, you hit the ejecto button, and the thing will play its track on your life.
Then you hit VOL, and it comes up on the screen, and it's basically brackets.
Yeah, it's
and
brackets.
And it says minus 42.
Right, right. Yes, you're into the minus decibel. Yes, right. And my feeling is technology is good, but there's certain things that it's just, you know, like a baseball glove. Leave it alone.
Knobs are better.
Stereo, put the knob there, brother.
Knobs are better.
When it comes to a sports car, we want to see analog gauges. We don't want to see something going like the $6 million man, bunch of digits speeding up. We want to see a nice analog gauge getting up to the red zone, getting up to the red line there. And I don't know who passed this ordinance. Maybe it was Pete Wilson or Gray Davis. I don't know if it goes on in other cities. But who decided that a limo radios could not have knobs on them needs to be executed. They all need knobs because you're drunk, you're bouncing around, and you just have no idea where you are. And then eventually, here's what you do. You pop the face frame off for the 15th time and hold it under a lamp. Then, you know, I take make a quick schematic on it by taking like a Snickers wrapper and some charcoal and doing a little outline of it. Then I can pop it back and sort of guess where I am. But it's still, you can't change channels. You can't figure the goddamn volume.
Everyone's staring at you. DJ. Get busy.
Yes, it is. It is tragic. You think being a part of the rich and the affluent is a walk in the park? No, not so, kiddies. You're going to have to ride in a limo one day and face the heartache of the limo stereo. That's right. It's very difficult. Heather.
Yes. Hi.
Oh boy, you ever been in the back of a limo?
Yeah, actually, a bunch of times.
Yeah, it's hell, isn't it?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Actually, my question was for Dr. Drew. I've been with the same guy for the past year and a half. In fact, we're engaged to be married. And I was a virgin before I met him. And after we had sex, I was completely just, you know, wanted it all the time, four times a day if I could. And now I was on Paxil for a little bit, and I haven't taken it for about a year now. But now I just don't ever want to have sex.
Huh.
Yeah, and it's... I'm trying to figure out what's going on. I asked the doctor, and she said it doesn't have any long-term effects.
It shouldn't. It sure shouldn't. Did the Paxil shut you down while you were taking it?
Oh, yeah.
So you were aware of a drop-off in your libido then. Have your periods been normal?
Yeah, they're normal. They used to be irregular, but...
No, if I were you, if you were to come to me, I would do a very careful, basically hormonal assessment to see if there's something influencing what you would call the sex hormone, that the estrogen, progesterone cycling, and whether or not there's something else going on here, that the Paxil may precipitated or been sort of, maybe the depression was associated with something that endocrinologically. There's a lot of interesting problems. People can have prolactin secreting tumors, thyroid problems, that are not obvious but can really affect these sorts of things. I would get it checked out.
She said engaged to be married, which always drives me nuts.
Yeah.
Which, that and he was framed for a crime. I'm engaged, didn't commit.
No, no.
Yeah, but not engaged to be married.
Oh, right, guys.
You're engaged.
I understand. I am engaged.
Yes, congratulations. Thank
you very
much.
Big shout out to my lovely Heather. She's down taking care of her nephews today.
Ow!
Nick?
Yes.
You're 26. What's up?
Well, I had another question for both you and Drew, but first you wanted to talk about the leaking, right?
Oh, sure. Have you called here before?
Yeah.
Boy, is his voice familiar to me. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I'll answer that question in a second.
Yeah.
But first, the leaking. I mean, I'm about to be 26. I remember when I was, like, getting started sexually when I was in my teens, you know, I could hold on to my fluids, no problem. But it's definitely changed in the last... I was just thinking about this recently, actually. It's sort of funny, but...
It's gotten...
Well, are you also talking about, like, after you, like, take a leak or something?
No.
No.
That kind of leak will get worse as you get older.
Oh, that's definitely happened.
Oh, yeah. All men can look forward to that.
I don't understand that at all. That's obnoxious.
That is your prostate.
The temerity of my prostate.
Are you also talking about, like, after you ejaculate, or...
No, we're talking about before you ejaculate.
Pre-cum. Actually, no, that the other two probably have gotten worse, but before I ejaculate probably isn't that much different.
Isn't you?
Okay.
Now, where have I heard your voice before?
I used to work with you guys on Loveline, and that was my other question. I was wondering if you guys had talked to anybody about doing a feature film of Loveline, or I sort of had an idea that I wanted to pitch to you both, not over the radio.
Well, I have talked to somebody about that one time, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, maybe I did. Yeah. I had one of the many wasteful conversations I've had with idiots over the years in the industry. That's why I don't bother going to any auditions or anything. It's all just one big conversation. You know, here's the conversation that should really go on in all these meetings with executives and producers and all these industry idiots. Hey, I'm getting a lot of money. Yeah. And I want to keep my job. And the way I keep my job is having these conversations and not spending any money. So, you want to come in again tomorrow? We can talk some more. Come into my office. I'll buy lunch.
Wait,
what do you say?
Do you want to find out who Nick is? Or
I don't care. He used to work here.
No, TV, I bet.
Hey, yeah.
Oh, yes.
I took your car for a spin. I got your tank filled and I got you cleaned and everything.
Oh, hey, Nick, yeah.
How you doing?
Good. You got me a battery, right?
I got you that battery for your Cherokee.
Yeah.
How's that running?
Good times, Nick.
See? Yeah. We'll blow him up.
Nick, you sort of have a hair feather, you know, trigger on the clutch there, but...
Nick's golden. Yeah. Well,
I took care about him.
Yeah. All right, Nick. So, now I'm glad. Next time I see you.
Well, should I propose something for, like, Lapidus, or how could I pitch you guys something?
Yeah. That's where to go with it.
Yeah. Go over there with it.
Yeah, you'd honestly take a look at it, though?
No, someone would. I don't read. I believe it poisons the mind.
Oh, Drew, yeah. I wanted to thank you for signing that autograph for the receptionist at Stone Stanley.
Oh, my pleasure.
Do you remember that? Yeah.
No.
All right, Nick. All right, there you go. Guy gets a new battery for your car. I think I sent him out. It's great. I got kids to do my bidding for me. I call them lackeys. I think the official term is like a PA or intern or something, but lackey. That's what I call
them. Isn't the guy that gets you juice?
They get you juice. You give him your credit card, and you just send them all around town. They pick up, like, dry cleaning, and, except for not me. I get them getting batteries and stuff from the Pep. I send them to Pep Boys.
Isn't it weird that I find it very weird, though, that, you know, you and I get so tuned into listening when we're here on the radio that a guy's voice, you know, I would recognize it.
Right.
Pick it out of this the crowd here.
And
this guy I haven't seen in 8 months.
I work with a guy, and I didn't recognize his voice. All right.
He was your lackey.
The lackey, yeah. Allison?
Hi.
You're 14.
Yeah.
What's up?
I recently got involved with my best friend's brother.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a girlfriend.
Wait, hold on a second. Just don't speak for a second.
Okay.
Crickets. Frog.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That has got to be on your sound background sound scale. That's got to be down the food chain a ways.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's the only place where there's no people.
Yeah.
Outside.
Yeah. The only thing worse is hearing like a grandpa play the cider jug in the
banjo.
Oh, he's playing a washed up.
Like a piggy.
Parts of the Caribbean.
Don't you know?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure she probably lives on some beautiful estate somewhere. Where are you calling from, Allison?
Clackamas, Oregon.
Clackamas?
Clackamas.
Clackamas.
Out near Boring.
Out near Boring? Oh, my goodness gracious.
Wow.
Boring.
All right. Oh, they weren't kidding when they named that town.
What's going on?
But I was just wondering what to do because I've had a crush on him for like a year. He's 18.
Oh, boy.
No good.
Yeah, and she hates it when I even like talk to him and then, you know, and I can't tell her, but I really, she's like my best friend. I feel so bad.
How old is she?
She's 14.
Would you have mixed it up with him a little bit?
What?
Oh, yeah. You've had an encounter with him, right?
Yeah.
You had sex with him?
Almost, right?
No. You're 14, he's 18. 18?
Yeah.
Not good for you. You know what? And he's a very bad guy because he's diddling two 14-year-olds at the ripe old age of 18.
Yeah, not good.
No, his girlfriend's like 18.
That's even worse. It doesn't make him any better.
Her best friend is 14.
Yeah.
I know, but I thought her best friend. Oh, it's her brother.
Her brother,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, but, I mean, I really, really like him.
Yeah.
And people, you know,
no, it's just Allison, not good for you. Yeah.
You're idolizing him. I mean, it's just like Ricky Martin. I really, you know,
don't say anything bad about Ricky.
It's so easy.
Yeah. Hey, Allison.
Yeah.
I know you're madly in love with a guy that most women would laugh at.
No, actually, all my friends have crushed on him and, like, all the girls at a school. He's...
I know. Those are your friends, though. We have to take that into account.
But when you're 18, you look at that guy and you go, oh, my God.
What was I thinking? That's right. He'll still be in Ugly Crack, Oregon or whatever. Where are you calling from?
Clacking Crack.
Clackamas.
What's that?
Clackamas.
Clackamas. Right. How do you spell that, by the way?
It's C-L-A-C-K-M-A-S.
Wow. All right.
What do you expect on this phone call, though? Do you expect us, I mean, do people kind of go, well, we'll tell you to say yes, you should get together with the 18-year-old?
Yeah, what do you think?
What do you want us to say? Do you want us to say go for it?
I don't know.
Be reckless and be crazy? Maybe you'll get pregnant? Go away. That's bad. Find someone who's 14 and a good kisser.
And I was also wondering if it would be, what's like the percentage of like getting pregnant if I wasn't on the pill? Yeah.
100%. You're calling from Quackenbush, and you're 14.
And the frog's talking.
That longitude latitude is definitely 99%
chance. Yeah, considered a high probability.
Right. You're going to have a child.
And there's an alligator eating a possum not more than 10 feet from you. It's very high.
It's just a,
all right?
Fertility drug.
Allison, please, just stay.
No.
Yeah, you're at a crossroads here. These things are not going to make you happier. All the feelings you have are normal, but just hold out a little bit. Don't act on these things right now.
They
look differently later.
Oh, my God, and it's not going to be that much later.
No.
And if you really think about that sort of fork in the road analogy,
she could go one
she
way.
She goes up, gets knocked up by this guy.
Game over,
or she straightens out, hangs on to her virtue a few years, goes off to college, moves off to a big town like Poughkeepsie.
So, the percentage is
has a life.
Having a good life.
After being pregnant, oh boy.
Just forget about it.
All right, we will take ourselves a little break. When we come back, we'll speak to Teresa. Had sex with a guy, and then he peed in bed. She wants to know what's up with that after this. Oh, good times. Yeah. You know I'm not going to be in a good one.
No.
Hey, it's the Love Line. Matthew Lillard is our guest tonight. Love's Labor's Lost is the name of his latest movie, and that is out, not everywhere, but coming this Friday. You should be able to find it. Teresa.
Yeah.
18.
Yeah.
I had sex with a guy, and then he peed in the bed.
Yeah, like sometime during the night.
Ew.
Yeah.
I know.
Was he drunk?
Yeah.
There you go.
Was that... Well... Why? Yeah.
Yeah,
that is a very common reason the guys lose their urine.
You don't think that was a factor, Teresa?
Well, no, I didn't think he had had that much to drink. No, that sounds bad.
He did. He had.
Yes. Is he your boyfriend?
No.
Yeah. Well, what'd you have to do? Goose him, juice him up to get him in the sack?
No. It wasn't like a one-night thing. We had been sleeping together for a while. And
I see.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, this happens to the best of them. It's happened to me. It can happen. Here's basically the way my urination, nocturnal urination schedule went, something like this. Every day for many years, of course. And then, many, many years. And then I'd wet the bed like every, 3 years, I'd say. Like from the age of like maybe 19 to 25, 26. I dreamt I was on the pot. And I was taking a leak at some airport bathroom or something, and then I'd wake up. I've probably done it like 4 times in the last 10 years or something like that. But it could happen. And
Dude, the guys are drinking. That's
when you're 18 and you're drinking.
Hey, she's lucky you didn't get up and pee on her.
And we're not kidding. It happens. Guys get really loaded. They black out. And they pee on their victims.
Haven't done that.
It could happen. You're still very young. And so is the night. Cheyenne?
I beg your pardon.
Hold on a second. Ernie?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll let it drop the attitude over there. You're 30. What's up?
My question mainly was for Dr. Drew. I was wondering if... Is there a relation between sometimes on the weekends if I'm partying a lot, I'm drinking a lot on the weekends, say 2 days in a row, I've noticed that I donate plasma from time to time, and I've noticed that
for money.
Well, yeah, I mean.
Oh boy.
Well, and.
All right, what have you noticed?
Well, I've noticed that my blood pressure on days after a couple of days of partying.
Yes, that's called alcohol withdrawal. It will drive your pressure up like crazy.
It will.
And the binging, sort of as you connect the dots, as the distance between the binges get less and less, your blood pressure ends up being up all the time. If you drink daily, that also drives your blood pressure.
Ernie, whatever you've been doing, whatever plan you've made for yourself thus far in life, do something else. It's not working out. You're donating plasma, which is essentially selling
code for
selling blood so you can buy more booze, for Christ's sake. Just whatever it is, stop doing it. You're an alcoholic. I can hear it on you. All right? Anyone who sells blood has a serious problem. So, AA, thank you. Now let's talk to the lovely Cheyenne. Cheyenne?
Yeah.
Okay, you're 15.
Yep.
Is that how you spell Cheyenne, by the way?
How do you spell it?
Well, I mean, is that how you spell that name?
We don't have time for the music.
All right. Go on. What is up, honey?
Okay. I'm 15 years old, and I had sex with my boyfriend. And my boyfriend told my parents when I was at work.
Wow. How did that come up?
Hey, you know, when you get laid at 16, 17, you can't stop.
You get so tell everybody.
You sit next to a priest at a funeral. It's like, sorry I'm late, Padre, but... let me tell you, I just cut myself a slice.
And tomorrow, my mom made, like, an appointment for me to get on birth control.
Well, that's good.
Good.
Reaction.
Wise.
Yeah.
But my dad flipped out.
Oh, sure. And now, how old is your boyfriend?
17.
And why did he tell your parents?
Because he didn't want to hide it anymore. He wants to tell his parents, but my parents... want to tell his parents in a nice way, like.
Listen, if I were you, I would have hired a drifter to kill this guy months ago.
But he's nice.
Oh my God, he could not live with that anymore. I'm banging this 15-year-old, and I must inform her parents. It's the only right thing to do. Let me pull out for a minute so I can go tell your folks.
It's interesting. She's trying to be exonerated.
Dana, you have hippie parents?
My dad's 65 and my mom's 42.
Oh. Are they hippies?
No.
They work with clay?
No.
They eat what do they do for a living?
My dad's on SSI and Social Security, and my mom is on
Social Security. No.
Right.
Yeah.
Welfare.
Yeah.
What
they do? Get the same explosion at in the mine, or what happened? How
my dad did, and he's an alcoholic.
All right. And what happened to your dad?
He went back to drinking.
I know, but what happened that made him disabled?
Yeah, he broke his pelvis by horse racing.
I see.
He's a jockey?
Yep.
No, he's not.
He's an alcoholic jockey at 65?
Yep.
Is he really a jockey?
That's actually kind of like a Cersei.
All right, and your mom, why is she out of work?
Because our head's messed up.
I see. Here's what I'm talking about. Here's what I'm saying.
I don't know what you do. What do you say?
When I'm in charge, I call in an airstrike. I take that house right out. Incendiary devices, mostly. Some cluster bomb.
Something that burns before you die?
It'll be painless. It really will. But I got to take that house out. You know what I'm saying? Drunken jockey dad, mom with the head screwed up. Boyfriend who's telling drunken jockey dad, he just got done boning your daughter.
25-year difference between mom and dad.
Hey, Pops, you may not be sober, but here's some sobering news. I just got done working your 15-year-old. You're 60-something. Mom is 40-something. God knows how many other critters this guy has floating around nationally. You know what I mean? He's 60-something. You think Cheyenne is his one daughter? No. All right. All right, folks. That's it. Here's your choices, everyone. You either put me in charge or you move to Canada. That's it. We'll take a break.
And mercifully, another show comes to a close. And thank God it's without Adam. Matthew Willer, thank you for coming in here tonight.
Thank you very much.
The movie is Love's Labor Lost.
Correct.
And it's a musical rendition of Shakespeare drama.
Correct.
Right. Do we know exactly where it's going to be played yet?
At a Cineplex near you.
Near you.
Just moments away.
And it's a Kenneth Branagh film, and everyone within the sound of my voice needs to go out and check that
out. Alicia Silverstone, it's really great.
It really sounds like an interesting film. And anything with Kenneth Branagh has got to be
It doesn't suck.
Yeah.
Get extra credit. If you're listening, get extra credit.
But again, good to see you again. Thank you for coming in here, and you're always welcome. Bye-bye. So we got to go. Show's over. So let's see. It'll just be me and Adam tomorrow night. But until next time, this is Dr. Drew on behalf of Adam Kroll saying mahalo.
Well, what is considered a leaky wiener?
Well, now. The step expressed on Loveline is not necessarily the step of the staff, management, sponsors, or anyone else, including Westwood One Entertainment. Loveline is produced by Ann Wilkins-Ingold. Now, please enjoy these birds.